Episode 476, April 13th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
F***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
please
are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Another quarantine podcast coming at you. Welcome to the Rob and Joe Show. You guys getting you getting antsy, squirrely yet, stir crazy?
Yeah, 100% I am. I got, but we're in here another month, right? Don't you think?
I'm starting to see the end of the quarantine light. I don't know about when we're going to be doing comedy shows and things like that, but I feel like the pressure is mounting. That, you know, come May 1st, there'll be a plan to start easing us back into society.
You're probably right about that. But, you know, I do think about you. And, you know, I got my two friends that are most affected by this, or my closest circle, is you and my friend Erica. Erica's a bartender, and you're a comedian, okay? It isn't the job. It's the fact that people have to be willing to go back into a crowd. That's the bigger component. So even if they said, yeah, it's okay to do it, would a club say, all right, well, let's open it up? Because, you know, if somebody opened up a club and, you know, 13 people were there, they'd lose money, right? In order to turn the lights on and pay the comics and flip and staff it or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, I think about that and I'm like, well, how long till crowds decide they're going to sit right next to each other in a cramped room? How far away are we from that?
I don't think we're as far as you think. I mean, the more data we get, the more information, the less, I mean, it's gotten less scary. There's more people in the world over 100 have died than under 30. So, I mean, you know, Sweden and Germany, they're easing back in. So all I had to do was watch those countries. And those aren't third world countries. You know, those are, you know, real countries with huge economies.
Are they easing back into people congregating in large crowds? That's the 100% that's going to happen. You know, tomorrow I can go back to work tomorrow. I go right into my office. I could sit at my desk. I'd never be within 6 feet of someone. There's hand sanitizer everywhere. I can wear my mask. That's not a concern at all. You know, but that's why I specify you and Erica, because your jobs rely on the fact that people are willing to get together in a one venue and sit, you know, ass to nuts or whatever and watch a show. Or in her case, you know, drink and go to a bar and try to hook up.
Yeah, no, if we opened up today, would the numbers be down because of that? Yes. But I mean, a week in quarantine time with everything that's happening so fast, it's like 3 weeks in real time. So by the time we get into, you know, June, we're going to see. People are going to be out. We're going to see what the deal is. And it's either, we're either going to learn that, okay, just, you know, still be careful. You can still do a comedy club and seat half, charge extra to make up a little bit of the money and keep people apart. You can still hand sanitize. You can still wear masks. You can still all do all these things.
It's not whether or not.
You're going to start to see it politically now. You're going to see all these governors, especially the ones that have their sights on running for president in 2024, how they're judged. How they doing this, how they're judging this, will decide that. Like, if Trump says, let's ease back in, and they resist, and then it works, then that's bad for them. So you're seeing like California and Oregon and Washington getting together. The governors have all agreed they're going to do the plan themselves and figure it out, because they can't have Trump saying, let's get back in, and they don't, and then it works. Whereas if they get jump ahead of it and do it at the same time, then if it works, feather in their cap, especially the guy in California. He definitely wants to be president one day. I mean, the guy, Jay Inslee for Washington, that's J.L. Covan's favorite. He already ran this year. But the Newsom guy's young, good-looking, you know, straight out of central casting run for president.
Yeah, and of course, you know, this is criminal. It is. Why everybody literally should say, let's do the very best thing for the people in our state. How could that not be factor number one? It's probably, you're right, it's probably not. It's probably, all right, how do we do what we need to do that serves the best interest of our state? This isn't just, this is every state that, right. You know, and say, but we can't give credit to, we can't follow in the footsteps of this person that we are going to say is an idiot at every turn. And we also have to be right. So it's delicate. They can't just say, look, let's serve the interest of our people. Sometimes we're going to agree. Sometimes we're going to disagree. But let's serve the interest of our constituents and the people that populate our state. But we're not getting that. We won't. We're so far past that. All you got to do is read down your Twitter feed and you realize that nobody can do anything right.
No, and this isn't anyone's fault necessarily, but let's just say that the right decision was to reopen the country. And it's what Trump thinks. It's what Obama would have thought. It's what every president, it's what anybody that had all these, I'm not saying that's the right thing, but let's just say that that was. He couldn't do it. He doesn't have the, because people would get irate because there would be an uptick in cases and deaths. And then he doesn't have the political cover to do that yet. So we couldn't even do that if that was the right thing. Because once there'd be a couple, cases went up slightly. You're a murderer. And now it's chaos. So if the right thing was to do that, you can't do it right now, even if it was the right thing. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, it absolutely does. Hey, Boom PA in chat, I don't know who that is. They said Newsom, who's the governor of California, was married to Kimberly G, who's now Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend. Is that true? That's what they wrote. It's hilarious if it is.
I have no idea, but in the last Chappelle special, you know, he talks about being in the green room of, I think, San Francisco Cobb Comedy Club with Newsom. Remember, he's the guy. I think it was he the mayor of San Francisco? He talks about seeing the cops, like, told him to sit down, or they were roughing him up or something, and then Newsom told him to stop. Remember that story?
Vaguely.
All right. Well, anyway, he references him. Not that that's important, but we got some good stuff tonight. I got a story that's on topic. It's similar to the story Robbie told on the Boner Show, if anyone heard that yet. We got some Restivo stuff. We have the winner of our raffle. Congratulations to Allison Jenkins. Her and Taylor, big fans of the show. Our Dialect Productions raffle. You got two tickets to a future show and a T-shirt.
I want to talk about that T-shirt. I want to talk about it on this show. So they live the next city over. That's where they live, right?
And to you, yeah.
Right. And I have the T-shirts. And Rob's like, hey, mail that T-shirt to him. By the way, I don't have postage. That means I got to get up, find a T-shirt. Fuck, you put it in a box, go to the post office, write the address on it, mail it to him, okay? Meanwhile, I just looked. They're 7.8 miles from my house, and they're 2.3 miles from my work. I'm like, I'm just going to put it in their mailbox. And Rob's like, I said I'd mail it. Well, fuck that. I'm just going to, they don't know. You know what I mean? I'm just going to put it in a bag and put it in their mailbox. It's so much trouble to mail it.
Key part of this story, Joe.
What's that?
In the text between you, me, and Katie, Katie says to me, get her address and I'll mail her the shirt.
No, I got that. But now I have to go mail it. You follow what I'm saying?
It sounds like Katie said she would mail it.
No, it's going to be me.
And I told Allison that it would be mailed to her. So I feel like you're just stepping in when you could just sit back and not do anything.
It's possible, but doesn't you realize that there's the exact same effort to mail it? Actually, it's more effort to mail it than it is just to drop. If it was anybody else, if they lived in Columbia, I'd mail it. They're literally one city over from where I live.
One time, Tawana wanted me to overnight an RSVP to a wedding that was late when, you know, the person is like 20 miles from here.
What'd you do?
Everything's next day when they're that close. So I don't know why would I overnight something? It's the regular mail is the next day.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna overnight it. Whatever. It's just the idea of, by the way, overnighting something other than the cost is the exact same effort as mailing it the slowest possible route. That's just what I don't want to do. I don't want to interact with somebody, which I'm going to have to do, touch a shit ton of cardboard, which you're going to have to do. Apparently, the COVID-19 virus lives on cardboard for 10 years or something like that. Like, all the stuff that is involved here, I'd rather just go here and stick it in their mailbox. Assuming they have a mailbox, I don't know.
Well, see, that's the thing. Now you have to go there and find out. I'm going to, you know what? The ball's in your court. My work is done. However you get it to them, if they complain, I'll report them directly to Joe Robbins.
Yeah, I have their address. They can't be upset that I have it. I have it. They gave it to us. You follow?
Yeah. So, funny Restivo story. And if you saw me tweet this, don't say anything yet because I don't want to give up the reveal here. But I tweeted a comment about a video of a girl doing a handstand and taking off her sweatpants, she has shorts underneath, taking her sweatpants off with her leg while doing the handstand. Does that make sense?
It does.
So Chris Restivo replies, I see this all the time. Go to fantasies. They got bitches doing trapeze tricks, but she's got some talent. Now, for those of you who haven't seen this, the girl doing this is Simone Biles,
the most decorated American gymnast in history.
Gymnast of all time. And he's comparing her to some, as he puts it, bitches at fantasies. Like, she couldn't do a stripper pole thing. This girl has like 20 gold medals.
Oh, man. Yeah, I tell you what, I've been very frustrated. And I wasn't going to say anything about this, but since I'm also going to take a shot at Robbie and we also took a shot at Restivo, I'm going to start out with my dad. I got frustrated with my dad because I put up a picture of me and my brother in a trash can like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, okay? You told that story.
I told about my father, what my father responded on the air.
About us in the trash can? I believe so. Rob?
I know you told it, but Robbie, you're the show historian. I'm the last.
Well, if I tell it twice, that's fine, because I know I said I wasn't going to give Dad shit about it, but since we're giving Restivo shit and I'm about to give Robbie shit, I'm going to give my dad some shit right now. He's not getting jokes. It's frustrating me, right? So me and my brother are in the trash can. Obviously, it's a joke. I think we did talk about this, but that this is where we kept the toys at my grandmother's house. And I wrote in Twitter, here's the time my father, you know, put me and my brother in a trash can, stop child abuse, something like that. Clearly, we're smiling and we're having a good time, blah, blah. Everybody in the world gets this joke. Everyone in the world. There's nobody that thinks that I was abused and now I'm reporting it to Twitter. Nobody. I mean, there's not a single person that's not understanding what the joke is. And my father writes, your grandmother put you in that trash can. Like, I need to distance myself from that. I didn't put you in that trash can. Somebody else did. Meanwhile, who gives a fuck who put me in the trash can? We wanted to be in it. It's like playing in the box that the dishwasher came in. We're clearly having fun. We're not being abused. So I got frustrated that it's like, ugh, seriously? You're not getting jokes at this level now? So anyway, fast forward. Robbie, Chris Restivo makes a collage almost for the Robin Joe show. And he puts Gramps' face in it, and it's just this rudimentary Photoshop. And Chris puts himself, of course, as a stripper ass up in it, blah, 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 right? Okay.
Mac Bergson was featured.
Mac Bergson's in it, right? Okay, all this. And all Robbie is upset that this piece of art is a piece of shit. Like, who doesn't know that, right? Like, Robbie's like, oh, this sucks. Well, yes, of course it sucks. You know what I mean? Because that's his thing. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like me. It's like, you understand? It's almost like you don't get the joke. By the way, Dad in chat's going, my answer was a joke, too. Well, I don't get the joke, then. What's the joke?
It's a good comeback.
What's the joke about somebody else putting me in there?
To be horrible. That's what makes it great.
Yes, of course it's right. I need you. You follow that, Robbie. You do understand that we know it's shit, right?
Yes, I know everybody knows it's shit. I didn't just make a general statement. I was pointing out very specific things that were wrong with it that were funny to me. That's all.
Well, okay. All right.
He also, there was a plane and it called it SS Beef Wellington. I think he was trying to make a nine in joke, but SS stands for steamship. So it's, it's not for a plane, whatever.
Yeah, anyway, so I get frustrated when Robbie gets defensive when other people do art, when clearly it's horrible.
I don't think I was being defensive. More so, I was just appalled at the effort. You know what I mean?
That's the point. That's the point. You know, Robbie even shits on five-plated clothing art. Well, of course it's horrible. Yes, that's the whole thing. Come on.
No, that is the difference. You're appalled. I'm enthralled with the effort. I want more of this.
Yeah, no, of course I do. Yes.
I want to start making five-plated masks.
It just offends all my senses.
No, I love every bit of it. I want more, Chris. Keep it up.
Well, Robbie, he's also doing stand-up comedy.
I know.
I'm not offended by it. Are you, Rob? Are you offended by his stand-up comedy?
And he's giving financial advice.
Well,
Oh, yeah. Can we have some of that?
Well, let's set it up first, right? Is it a commercial, Robbie?
I think you would call it a commercial, sure. But I think he's doing it tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I think it started out, Eric, somebody posted on Facebook some, you know, stock tip advice, and Eric tagged Restivo in the comments.
Yes.
To give him some information. And I forget what he said, you know, buy gold or whatever he always says. I just messaged him, hey, can you put together an audio to maybe do a segment or something, Rob and Joe show, stock advice from Restivo.
No, what was said was, how much do you charge for your services?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And then he responded what he charges. You know, meanwhile, of course, you know, he's not credentialed in any way, and he knows nothing about the market, right? Matter of fact, all he was doing before was telling you to buy Bitcoin, and if you did that when he said, you're broke, of course. You have no money at this point. But, yes, he will give you financial advice. He's not educated himself in any way on this other than having an E-Trade account, which I also have, by the way.
Yeah.
And then he'll give you
a track record of making money at this.
The only stocks he's ever recommended to me were the cryptocurrencies and weed stocks. Every time he mentions a stock, it's one of those two.
All right. You want to just tell me when to stop, okay?
Yeah.
When you want to comment.
I'm Chris Restivo, and you probably heard of me on the Rob and Joe Show. And I'm here to talk to you about buying stocks. I'm here to change your life so much you can get better gains, a better lifestyle, and enough money to buy that VIP room at a high-priced strip club you've always wanted to.
All right, stop for a second. Of course, he mentions the strip club, but why is he doing the voice? He's himself.
I don't know. He's ruining his credibility.
I think he's trying to be the announcer for his own spot.
No, but he says I'm Chris Restivo.
Oh, he
yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but he also isn't doing an announcer's voice.
It's his version of an announcer, I think.
It's like a used car salesman.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, shady guy voice.
All right, go ahead. Keep going.
Interested in making money fast, I'm the guy for you. For only $50, you can get the best financial service out there. If you don't believe me, then hear from our clients. President Trump.
Oh, yeah.
When the media said I went bankrupt, I swear I did not go bankrupt. I got financial advice from Chris Restivo. And look at me now. I'm the fucking president. He taught me how to do things bigly.
Freeze for a second. So, here's the idea. I didn't go bankrupt. I got financial advice from Chris Restivo. Well, that would be bad. You follow what I'm saying? If he got financial advice from Chris Restivo, but then he said that financial advice made him the president of the United States. You understand? I don't know how you connect those dots.
They don't connect at all.
Heck of a stock.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Robbie.
Robert De Niro.
When I first met Chris, I said to him, yo, you're good, yo. You're very good. And he can change your life.
And actor Joe Pesci. Thought I was going to lose my fucking mind. I had trouble with my finances and this fucking accountant, that prick cocksucker, lost me half my money. But when I met Chris, everything changed for the better. Make money now.
Okay, hold on.
That's the whole thing.
So, Robert De Niro, when he first met him, he said, "You're very good." Okay, that also makes no sense. Okay, so the president went bankrupt, but he became the president on the financial advice of Chris Restivo. Robert De Niro met him, and the moment that he met him, he said, "You're very good." And then Joe Pesci had a poor accountant, and we don't really know anything that happened after that other than him calling him a prick and a cocksucker.
I don't think he puts 1 second of thought into it before he opens the mic.
Robbie, what do you trust more? He takes over all your graphic design accounts, or he takes over your finances and your investments?
I would just kill myself.
No, come on. That's not how hypotheticals work. Hey, here's what happens. Seriously, you have to choose one. All the design that you do, he does it. So you know how you have big, like, what is it called, property manager, firm, management firm, or whoever. Chris had to do all the design.
Okay.
Or every financial decision that was made in your life was made by Chris. You have to choose one.
He's going to do the graphic design because I'm going to assume I'm not a financier. I don't have any expertise in that area, but at least I could train a guy to not completely fuck up the graphics.
Do you have a 401k?
Yes.
Chris is in charge of that now.
No, I'm telling you the graphics.
Oh, he's in charge.
I have to give him the graphics because at least I can train him and help him along with that. I couldn't do anything about the financials.
Would you consider giving him both?
All right, Robbie, next hypothetical. How much you have a new account. They have not seen your work. This is your first time submitting whatever they need done. And the first submission you give them has to be done by Chris Restivo. Now, you can say, look, if let me know if you want me to change it, and I will. You're not going to fight them on it being good if they come back, which they will, saying it sucks. But that's your first attempt. You have to send them something by Chris Restivo. How much money to allow that to happen?
Not very much.
Oh, wow.
$100?
Do that.
Again, I'm
assuming. Because I have $100.
I'm assuming I get to coach him in some way. That I can't.
No.
I can't do it. I got to give it to him blind.
This company, they want, they're all about this, and this. They want a logo that conveys that. Boom.
I'm blind. I don't get
whatever
to see
he
it.
Hands you, you then take that and you pass it right along to the customer.
$10,000.
$10,000?
Yes. That's my reputation.
Because I mean, it's probably going to be a spelling error. So there's that right up. He might get the name of the company spelled wrong, which would be great.
Oh, all right. How much? There's an opening at your workplace.
Yes. And I have to recommend him?
But you're fighting for him. How much? To fight for him to get the job. You're like, I know this guy.
$500,000.
No, that's crazy.
Oh, no, I can't. Listen, this is my good name. This is my reputation.
For me to fight for Chris Receiver to get a job where I work,
$500,000 does not sound so weird, is it?
No, I wouldn't do it. It would be way less than that, right? He'd get there, he'd be horrible, and before the 90-day probation ended, we'd fire him.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
All right, what if...
Plus,
what
he would
if
work under me, likely.
Him and he gets hired, or he has to live with you for 90 days.
Ugh.
Robbie?
I'm sorry, you're asking me.
Me, it's hire him easily. Yes, work with him for 90 days more than live with me.
100% not hire.
No, live with him for 2 weeks.
Hire him for 90 days or live with him for 2 weeks? Hire him for 90 days more than live with him for 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's no way I could take the living with.
I think it'd be fun. Now, the problem is Katie would not allow that, Joe.
That's not how hypotheticals work. That's not how hypotheticals work. He'd be here.
Yeah. Oh, I think that would be great. I mean, Eric and I would love that. We couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on? Hey, can we come over and visit?
Rob and Josh, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is radio personality and morning show host Justin Schlegel back to tell you about the newest interactive, hilarious whodunit from Die Laughing Productions, Hit Me 90s One More Time. In this show, I really get to stretch my acting chops. I play a radio personality. Ooh. This time, we're taking you back to the 1990s. You're at a radio station promotional event where listeners battle it out for the hottest concert tickets of the year, Ace of Base. Everything goes smoothly and no one dies. Not... Actually, some unlucky person will not just be losing their religion, but meeting their fate. And top market DJ Slater in the Morning, that's me, must solve the murder. Hit Me 90s One More Time also stars two princes, Mr. Jones, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions comedians, and most importantly, you, the audience. Come celebrate the 90s with us, for all we really want to do is have some fun, jump around, and help you get through this semi-charm kind of life. Don't miss Hit Me 90s One More Time. Eat, drink, laugh, solve a murder.
This show has been postponed till June 13th. The Bright Box Theater, Winchester. For tickets and more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Another week. Looks like we're going to be in this at least another month.
Hey, look, Matt Colby went into chat last night. He goes, oh, I'm just reading the post that the show is tomorrow.
Candy, flowers, necklace. So she asked for that.
Uh huh. Okay. Sex. Did you give her good sex?
Girls don't want birthday sex. Right?
There's probably things you're not doing enough of that you could have slipped in.
It's a relief if I'm not climbing on top of her.
Do you guys care that the woman that I picked for The Bachelor, she's in the final three?
Tampa, we packed this place. We don't care about the coronas. Fuck the coronavirus. I put my hand out, a guy shakes it. And then I go, that's how it spreads. It worked every time.
Yeah, I walked out of my set and I go out there and I go, man, it was a bad idea to give up hand washing for Lent.
My career is not at a standstill. Things are still happening.
I'm trying to think of creative things to do that don't involve just Joe and I.
I worked from home all last week, so I've been home Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Happy days.
Then Monday, Tuesday,
happy days.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Happy days.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I've been home.
These days are all.
Everyone's talking about ice cream? Fuck that. I'm not eating that ice cream. Everyone talks about how good ice cream is. If not me, I've never tasted ice cream in my life.
I don't like dolls that come to fucking kill you. I don't like that.
I like cats.
I will eat s'mores out of my neighbor's mouth if they want.
I'm doing it for myself. It's something I want to do.
Right.
And I think it'd be fun.
Dude, I've been watching some shit movies.
Doesn't medium cool just sound like not a hot, cool movie?
Well, let me tell you something. You don't want to find out who your real friends are.
What I don't agree with is that he said we need to stop sucking dicks and start working. Well, I'm working. I'm not sucking a dick. That's not true.
I've sucked zero dicks during this quarantine.
No, motherfucker. I'm going to do it now. 100% chance I do it now.
We were talking about our day jobs. He hates his day job. I said, I do too. And he goes, oh, you hate defrauding the government. It must be tough.
This is the show is such a train wreck.
Oh, fabulous. Fabulous work. I take it that's Jim Amato.
Of course, yes.
I like the happy days put in there. See, Robbie and I are old enough. I remember when Happy Days first started, the original theme song was Rock Around the Clock.
Bill Haley in the comments.
You tweeted about shows, recommended shows. Did you watch any new stuff this past week?
Yeah, we watched, we did watch Murder Mountain. What else did we watch? We watched another show.
That documentary about the,
it's about the illegal grow and then they legalized it.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, it wasn't great. Then there was another show that was recommended by Don. He's a P1 for 98 Rock. And it was this show basically about an Asian convenience store. And I couldn't get through. We literally got through 5 minutes of it. It was horrible. So we turned that off. And then we just started watching Outlander again. And Outlander, by the way, is a good show, but it's also the longest show in the history of mankind. The first season, I'm sorry, we just finished the second season. Each episode's like an hour. It's like a movie. I'm like, it's an hour and a half long, and there were 13 episodes. What's the production on? What does it cost $1 billion to make this show?
I think I watched one, and I felt like, God, I feel like I've been watching this for 6 hours.
I mean, if Game of Thrones was like Outlander, nobody would be dissatisfied. They'd be like, all right, enough. Stop making these.
Robbie, you watch anything new or good?
I watched Molly's Game. I watched Shaft.
Saw it.
I watched that Netflix movie with Marky Mark. Spencer Confidential.
I couldn't get through it.
I did quit in the middle of one. It's an off-brand comic book hero, Valentine. It's like some Indonesian movie that's dubbed in English.
What made you pick it?
Well, it's a superhero movie. I like movies where people are normal people, but they have a skill where they kick ass, like John Wick and things like this.
Right.
Sure.
The fucking plot makes no goddamn sense at all. I quit halfway through.
By the way, Jim Amato.
We watched It Chapter 2. Not that great.
I didn't even see that. Jim Amato just came in and liked the picture of me and Robbie in the trash can. Here's my father's direct quote that he said was a joke. I think your grandparents put you in that garbage can.
They've been having a marathon of Bar Rescue on, which is apropos these days. That's a ridiculous show that it's easy to watch, though. But it's so fake.
I've never seen it, but you reference it a lot. So I guess, you know, I've never seen The Deadliest Catch either. The morning show on 98 Rock just had one of those guys from that show on there. I guess everybody watches it but me. But
You need to go on Disney Plus and watch Wicked Tuna.
Man, I'll tell you what. We might still have Disney. I think we do. God, man, they really got it wrong. They really did. Disney didn't. They have all their own programming. I got that. But other than that, they had The Mandalorian and everything else is shit. I mean, why not just do exactly what Netflix is doing? Start paying other studios to air their content and compete with Netflix. Instead, it's every movie that you've already seen a million times in one original program.
I don't know. I mean, no, I say I like it, but I haven't turned to it the whole quarantine time. So maybe I don't like it as much as I
We never
think.
Use it.
But I also haven't seen hardly any of those Pixar movies. So, I mean, I've seen almost none of those movies on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I got into an argument with J.L. Covan on Twitter.
You mean Howard Stern's J.L. Covan?
Yeah, man, that's pretty impressive. We'll talk about that in a minute, because that means Robbie and JL have both been on the Howard Stern show. So that Robbie had a lot more airtime than JL, but either way, they both were on there.
Neither was on as themselves, though.
No, Robbie was himself. Do you know that? Do you know this story, by the way?
If you're a Patreon, you can hear it.
Oh, it's a Patreon.
Yeah, you can hear it there.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean people to get it for free. Anyway, Robbie's been on the Howard Stern show as himself, by the way.
He said, "I'm Robbie Robinson." I forget.
Yeah, I mean, we can't talk about it because you have to pay for it, but yes, he did. Anyway.
So, JL.
Yeah, so he did his top maybe four Pixar movies, and WALL-E is on there. WALL-E, of course, is just such a preachy. There's not one laugh in it. You know, it's preachy as hell. It's, you know, it might be nice to look at, but, you know, it's not like you're going to the Louvre to look at shit. It's a movie. I want to be entertained by it.
I've never seen it. What is it preaching?
That's right. JL he's a big environmental guy. That's what it basically is. It's a commercial for, you know, environmentalism, you know, pro-environmentalism. But anyway, it's just not a great film, and everybody loved it, of course. By the way, it's fine. It's fine. But there's no way it's one of the best Pixar movies by a zillion miles. And I go, yeah, that really cracked me up. And of course, he's like, what do you mean? It's not a comedy. Okay. It is a comedy, by the way. If you're a cartoon geared towards kids, it's a comedy. It's just not, there's nothing funny about it whatsoever. Unless you think the Earth's destruction is funny.
You call a Toy Story a comedy?
Of course it is. Of course a Toy Story is a comedy. Yes, 100%. Yes, a Toy Story is a comedy.
Call it a dramatic.
You can call it whatever you want, but a Toy Story is 100% a comedy.
Okay, I mean, I wouldn't go for it for the laughs.
I don't.
It's heartwarming.
Okay, but there's no category heartwarmers. It's not. It is a Toy Story is a comedy.
Robbie,
all of Pixar's animated movies are meant to be funny, but Joe's right. WALL-E lacks the laughs. It's overly dour and long.
But anyway,
what's chat saying about WALL-E?
Let's see here. Rob's grasp of movies is absurd. Is that what you want? Is that, hey, fuck JL. I don't know. That's basically what it says in here.
My grasp? I don't understand movies?
That's what it says. Benchwarmer said that.
I don't think he knows what grasp means.
I don't know. But yeah, check out the, hey, you know what? Watch WALL-E. Maybe see if you like it. Maybe you like it.
Well,
I don't know.
You haven't really sold me on it. I still have to watch Toy Story 3 and 4.
Yeah, no, those are way obviously worth seeing before Wally, three for sure.
All right. Well, I'll see Wally for you.
By the way, Robbie's the only one that heard JL on Howard Stern. We probably can get it on YouTube soon, right? Or I'm sure there's a way to consume it. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about it, Robbie.
It was a surprise to me. It was early on in the show, and he said, oh, we got President Trump on the phone. And they have a regular guy who does President Trump. But I knew immediately this was not their normal Trump impersonator. It was JL. And at the end, he asks him, just to confirm, he says, so President Trump, do you have any favorite comedians you want to mention? And he mentions Nick DiPaolo and Dennis Miller. He says, what about JL Colvin? He says, Colvin. Oh, that guy sucks. He's kind of a failed comedian.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's cool. That's I like that he did that.
Oh, he could have shouted my name out, but whatever, JL. It's okay.
You're upset.
I'm very upset. Now, it cracks me up that now for his career, he needs Trump to win. So talk about a Sophie's Choice.
Well,
I haven't even seen that movie, so I don't get the reference, but people say it.
You don't know that? That's right. You don't know what a Sophie's Choice is?
I know it's a tough decision, but I don't. That's
well. Let me explain it to you.
Context.
I think you might want to know.
Maybe I don't know what it means.
One of she had two children. One was going to go off to Auschwitz to live in a concentration camp. The other was going to be freed, and she had to choose which one.
Yeah, like I said, tough decision.
Yeah, pretty tough. But you know, JL, he's an integrity guy. As a matter of fact, you know, we talked a lot about the impeachment, and I'd say, hey, if you knew that this impeachment on the other side, the president would come out more popular, would you still have done it? And he's like, yes, I'd still do it. It's the right thing to do. I said, okay. So this guy that no matter under any circumstances, would you not want him to be the president again, you would risk, which has exactly what happened, strengthening him in a process that literally all you do is look at the math. You couldn't possibly have, this couldn't happen. He goes, yes, I would still do it. So, you know, the fact that he didn't plug himself, it's on brand.
That's true. But you're right, though. If this was like an Avengers movie and like Trump is Thanos and like JL is Captain America, everything Captain America does to kill Thanos makes him stronger.
Yeah, that JL's a lot like Captain America, except for without the superhuman strength and the good looks.
I think he's a gorgeous man. Speaking of you tweeting things, it's funny because Tawanda just bought us some wind chimes.
Oh.
You know, to be honest, I haven't even like looked at them, or maybe I've looked at them and not noticed, but I rarely hear them. But then you tweeted out, whoever puts up wind chimes, we all hate you or you're a horrible person or something to that.
Right.
And then I saw Katie's Instagram where she did the video of those gigantic wind chimes that your neighbor has, which are obnoxious as shit. But you are anti-wind chime no matter what, sounds like.
Well, here's the thing. Those wind chimes, this is no exaggeration. It affects it affects like 20 homes for the whole day and night. So let's say, for example, you're like, oh, let's keep the window open. It's a beautiful night. No, you can't do it. It's bing, 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 bing all night. Now, some people find that melodic or soothing, but if you don't, you're fucked. And so I feel it to be a very inconsiderate thing where we live. I'm not saying where you live. I don't know proximity-wise who's affected by your wind chimes. But the wind chimes where we are,
the most, I'm guessing. But they're not that loud, so it's probably one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, what I would do is I'd go to my neighbors and I'd be like, hey, we were going to put these wind chimes up. Are you okay with it? Seriously, because if not, it's highly inconsiderate to do if they can just hear them clanging all night.
Well, what do you do now, though? What's your recourse? Robbie, this sounds like something you'd be perfect for.
Well, I do know this. Before I said a word, our neighbors, Devin and Nicole, they texted me and they were like, can you fucking believe this bullshit? Right. And so immediately when they started, they didn't even know that we both publicly ridiculed these. By the way, I've met these neighbors many times. They're very cool. I like them a lot. But anyway, they sent me here. Here it is. Hold on. Here's exactly what they said. Hey, this came from them without reading my tweet. Devin writes, there's a special place in hell for people who hang up wind chimes on a blustery day while everyone is in quarantine, which is true. Everybody's home. And then I sent a screenshot of me saying, and this is my exact quote, people who have wind chimes, you know, everybody hates you, right? That was what I, and it's a very popular tweet, by the way. I happen to be in the right.
How much would you pay to have someone, and it couldn't be traced back to you, just steal them off of their deck or wherever they are?
Oh, no, I mean, well, first of all, that's going to happen. People are talking about shooting them down with BB guns. People are doing, you know what I mean? But I would pay. Yeah, I'd say here's $50. Get rid of them. They would be gone, by the way. So, not me, but somebody would go and, you know, yank them down. They were smart enough to put them on their second deck. But by the way, maybe they got the memo or whatever, but they took them down.
No, they did? Oh, it's a... Maybe they were just trying to compete with the loud noise of the Katy Theater, Katy Cinema.
And but here's the thing about the Katy Cinema. If it bothers you, it's fleeting. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not up all night. It's not up at 2 a.m. Does that make sense? You're not
airing WALL-E at 3 in the morning?
Yeah. So, by the way, a couple people definitely have wind chimes and they didn't like me writing that. There's one guy, here's what he says. He goes, as much as I love your sense of humor and your great dialogue when on the radio, you have already said two things on this Twitter thing that directly affect me. I love wind chimes, and I'm an independent voter. You confound me. You know, I always shit on independents. People always go, I'm an independent. But they, by the way, this guy very well may be an independent. But usually when people say they're an independent, it's as if they're, opinion has more validity because they haven't picked a side. So it's just a jerk off thing to say, right? Now, if you are in fact an independent, I don't have a problem with that. It's when you come out and explain that you're an independent, there's an ulterior motive. So that's why I made fun of that. And this poor guy has been the victim now of two of my tweets targeted at people, you know, doing things I don't like. But wind chimes.
Did you apologize to him?
But, well, who gets defensive about wind chimes? Do you like them? I don't. If you don't live near me, it's not. You know what I mean? I don't really hate people with wind chimes. You just told me Tawanda has them. You think I hate Tawanda? Are you offended?
No, of course not. But that's sort of your, he should know that that's kind of your Twitter shtick. It's like, if you're not watching this show, kill yourself.
Yeah, right, of course.
The best show of all time is this. I mean, sort of you go
hyperbole, yes. But meanwhile, people are just going crazy. Everybody hates the wind chimes.
Yeah, I don't really care enough about wind chimes to have a strong opinion. Robbie, you've never had wind chimes?
Oh, I got way worse in my neighborhood. I got people revving their engines at all hours. So,
what?
Yeah.
Racing at 2 in the morning?
I've had to go out there and say things to them before. So I would not mind complaining about them. But if it's wind chimes, if it's decorative, because people don't know that those offend most people if they like them. So, yeah, I'd have to somehow muffle them or tear them down.
Let me just make sure I get this right. There are people in your neighborhood outside 2 a.m.
Not 2 a.m., but late enough.
Give me a time.
Late for Robbie is like 8:45.
Yeah, I mean, I need to know that. What time is it?
As late as, like, say 9:30 or 10.
Okay. So it's 9:30, and somebody's revving their engines, and you walk out.
I have.
To the guys in the muscle cars.
Yes.
And you say, God did not put me on this green earth to let you rev your engine.
No, I asked them.
Before, the primetime shows have ended. I would never say anything. I'd be terrified.
I simply say, hey, are you going to be much longer doing that?
How long are you going to rev your engine, sir?
And they usually say, oh, sorry. And they stop.
Hey, usually, how often does it happen?
Probably about 11:30.
He goes, well, I'm in bed by 7, so could you mind wrapping it up a little earlier?
It's happened a couple times where I've actually had to say something because it was going on and on and on.
Is it your neighbor?
Yes.
Your neighbor, what kind of car does this? It's a guy, obviously, somebody doing something.
It's a kid.
Oh, okay. I got you. How
22
old?
22-year-old.
Okay, so he's 22. What does he drive?
Actually, the kid that annoys me the most has 3 fucking cars out there.
Is he a drug dealer?
No. He only has usually 1 or, if he's lucky, 2 running at a time. So he always has a spare. He has a BMW that's been sitting there for like 3 years now that stopped working, and now it's been sitting in the driveway in pieces for well over.
Well, he can't rev that engine.
No, but he has another car, and then usually one of the 2 cars he has to work on because one or the other is not working, the other 2 spares.
And this is the kid that's revving his engine, huh?
And his brother has a Nissan, and he, every day when he leaves, either, and he also has a motorcycle. So
If he leaves in his motorcycle or he leaves in his car, he goes and leaves the street. But he has to do it every single time. He can't help himself. But the thing that makes me crazy about that is those neighbors have the fucking nerve to put signs out in front of slow children at play. I'm like, fuck you.
Should we have enough time for another break, Robbie, or are we just muscling through?
Yeah, go ahead. Take another break.
All right. Be right back.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse and then six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he's doing. Left to right, right to left. It's like, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy is just giving up on life. He stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie that if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They're good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So, Tuesday night, the 8th or 7th, I guess, I was in the hospital.
What? Uh-oh.
So, I guess we're recording this Monday the 13th. I think last week would have been the 6th. On the 5th, the Sunday, I had a little like chest pain. And I've never had heartburn before, but I thought maybe this was heartburn. So I had some old Pepto-Bismol like in my pantry, these, you know, tablets. So I chewed on one of those things. Who knows if they still work. Didn't really do anything. I just didn't really worry about it. Went away. Then Monday we do the show. And then Monday night it came back a little more, right in the middle of my chest, not over the heart. Felt like a tightening. And it's something I've never felt before. So I was like, am I like not moving around much? Maybe that's it. I don't know. So I'm a little concerned. So then it's going in and out. Then Tuesday afternoon, it's, again, not super painful, but the worst it's been. And I start, you know, going down the COVID rabbit hole.
Oh, God.
So I go online, and I'm doing all that. You can do this virtual test and stuff. I tell Tawana what's going on. She says that she's had a similar thing. I'm like, well, what are the odds of that? So now are we giving ourselves some disease? So, if you do this COVID test, it says, do you have severe chest pain and tightening? Well, I don't. So I go, no, and I have no other symptoms. So then they say, you're fine. So then I go back and say, what happens if I click yes to that question? They, just go to the hospital immediately. I'm like, well, that's not it. So then I'm through Kaiser Permanente. I get a phone call from somebody. They ask me some questions. And they go, all right, we're going to do a virtual doctor's appointment. So then, you know, I do an online video appointment. And then they say, all right, well, we're going to want you to go to urgent care near Baltimore and get this looked at. I said, okay. So I go over there at 6 o'clock.
How many people are in the lobby?
Well, these two things sort of go contradict each other. It was super dead. I was there 7 hours, Joe Robinson.
Oh, my God. From 6 to 1 a.m.? How many?
Four.
Why did it take them so long to see you?
I believe because the garage was empty. I think that they don't have a lot of employees because they're not – this is something that's happening around the country. Unless you're in a hot spot, most hospitals are empty.
No, you're right. So, you know, my day job, we contract with hospitals, and the only people going to the hospital, the only people are people that go into the emergency room because they have an emergency and COVID-19. Right. All the outpatient procedures done. All the elective surgeries are done. I mean, you're in a crisis if you're there. So you're there with the people in crisis.
Well, there was one woman. She was had something wrong with her foot. She was an older, kind of heavy woman. So she looked like she just probably has bad knees and feet. She was there with her sons, and she was there almost as long as I was. But I got, like, they looked at me immediately, did an EKG, blood pressure and all that. And then it's like 3 hours later, I see the doctors, okay? And I go over all the symptoms and everything. And so she's, you know, trying to, what's different in my diet? So I'm thinking about what I've done differently. And I'm like, the only thing I come up with is I've been eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which I rarely eat because they're delicious and I can't stop eating them. So I don't buy it. And I've been drinking more juice. I've been drinking orange juice every day. And Tawana's been drinking a lot of cranberry juice. So when I've had alcohol, which I haven't had that much alcohol, to be honest, I've probably had this last month, the least alcohol I've had in years, over a month's time. But when I drink alcohol, it's been vodka and cranberry. So I guess I've been drinking more juice than normal. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. So I see the doctor. Then she goes, all right, you're going to give some blood. This is all in the same building. I give blood. And then I wait another 3 hours. Then I finally ask, I was like, you know, what's happening? And she goes, all right. She goes to talk to the doctor. All right, you're going to get a chest x-ray. So then I go and I do that. Then wait another hour. And then finally I see the doctor. She's like, yeah, we're going to prescribe you with like some acid reflux medication. And, you know, don't drink coffee and juice and all this stuff and yada, 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 and alcohol. And then we'll have a virtual meeting, an appointment in a week, and you'll be on this medicine for 2 weeks. So I went in thinking I might have COVID and I might have just been drinking too much cranberry juice. So I still feel it in my chest, but it's definitely not as bad. But I was literally there till 1 in the morning.
So let me tell you something. The exact same thing happened to me, but we weren't in a quarantine. Seriously, my chest was hurting and it was bothering me. And Katie's like, you go over there to the patient first. I go over there, blood pressure, EKG, chest x-ray, blood work, got the blood work right. It's nothing. So it was muscular and it went away, right? It went away.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, before this happened, it might have been 2 weeks before it happened, it came back and it hurt so bad. And I was like, I'm not going to the hospital. I'm not doing it. And of course, mm-hmm. It went away. It was exactly whatever it was. It's happened to me twice. It's not acid reflux. I've had that a zillion times. Heartburn. It's something else. But basically, what I did was I was like, I'm going to wait it out this time. I'm not going back to the hospital. And of course, I did not.
Maybe it's an allergies thing, but it's because I told the nurse. I said that because she goes, "How painful is it?" I goes, "It's not the pain that's bothering me. That it's A, I've never felt this before, and B, it's my chest near my heart, which is scary, and C, because of the COVID thing. That's the only reason any concern. If it was just pain, I wouldn't even be here. I would just be whatever. But the fact that it's that part of your body and the COVID thing is what scared me. But, you know, part of me was happy to get out of the house, but I mean, it was boring as shit. I'm just sitting there watching HGTV. It's all they had on with my mask on, and it was so uncomfortable. Every time I took it off, the one guy that gave a shit would show up and go, "Put your mask back on, sir." No one else gave a shit, but this one guy was always there to be the friggin' stickler.
Did your phone die?
Almost. It got real close, 8%.
Yeah, you would have had to have gone in there full juice. Otherwise, it's definitely going to die, right?
Yeah, I had about an hour and a half notice when they told me when I was going to go in, so that's when I went into phone charging mode. But yeah, because at first I was wondering why it took so long, because it was empty, and then I just realized it has to be. Because there's literally one doctor here. Four people, that's it.
You're getting some crap in chat. It says acid reflux. Are you saying reflex or reflux?
Oh, yeah, I guess it's reflux.
It is. It's reflux.
Yes, I know it's reflux. Yes. So, yeah, that's my hospital story. So, yeah, that's my almost getting COVID-19.
Well, that sucks for you, because if you now get it, you're probably going to hang on a little longer because you had this experience. Before you go and get help.
You mean survive?
Or? No, I'm talking about before you say, all right, I got to get myself to the doctor.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm gonna hesitate to go.
Because you'll pay some out of pocket for what you went through. You'll have to pay for some of that.
I don't think so.
Really? I would. And did, by the way, when I went. Yeah, it's not like a physical. It's, you know, if you went to the emergency room, you'd have to pay your deductible or whatever before you. And also, they don't necessarily cover 100% of those patient care visits, right, at Kaiser, do they? I should get out of my own health insurance with my company and go on Kaiser.
Well, when you make no money, you get good insurance.
Kaiser is good because they have their own facilities where they treat you, they do tests, they have emergency visits, and so you pay a lot less out of pocket. It's a pretty good system.
Jeff, the photographer, Jeff Hancock, just joined us in chat, it looks like.
He's the official photographer of the Robin Joe Show.
I don't think I've ever seen him in chat once.
And of Die Laughing Productions.
Correct.
Well, he's not allowed to leave the house. That's why he's in chat. What else is he going to do?
You guys did a family Zoom get-together?
Yeah, and I was pretty not stressed about it because all we had to do was give my father the room code because he'd already been on a Zoom call. That's it. Put in the 9 or 10 digit number into the thing and get it going again. And it was a shit show, but it was fun. And I will say this, the family call that we had was 25 minutes long. I appreciate that about my family. 25 minutes.
Yeah, it seems, love them and leave them fast.
That's how long, everything we had to say was said. You know, me and Robbie put up a few hilarious backgrounds. We said hi to everybody. We told everybody we loved them, and then we got off. 25 minutes.
But Gramps had his sound muted at the very beginning, and so Joe says he probably has it muted. So I said, Dad, take your cursor and scroll over the Zoom window. He says, what's a cursor?
Oh, no, it was.
And then, Rob, I was playing drops through the whole thing.
Yes, he was playing Frank Push, too. Hello? during it. But
awesome.
My father had already been on one of these calls, so I thought it wouldn't be, getting him, because he could hear us. We were also on the phone with him trying to walk him through it, and the fact that he could hear us on the phone was exacerbating it. But eventually, we got everything worked out. 25 minutes later, we're off. Happy Easter.
So Gramps has been on Zoom more than I have during this quarantine.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because, I was on Zoom meeting today. But, I'm on Zoom all the time. Are you going to be on the Kirk and Marianne Zoom call tomorrow?
I haven't heard anything about it, so no, I guess.
Let me see if you're on this invite here. Let's see. Oh,
believe I have a family Zoom thing, although I'm not really, if any family thing happens, I'm rarely a part of it, so.
Well, I'm going to be on, the Zoom call, which is going to be, I don't know how long their actual Zoom call is. They go live at 7:15, and I think they're done by like 9, I believe, or 8:45 or something like that. Oh, no, here's what it said. No, I'm wrong, sorry. We'll actually be live from 7:15 to 8:15. So Kirk says, hey, Joe, will you hop on this call? We don't need you on till about 7:45. So I'm like, cool, I'll just hop in for the last 30 minutes or whatever. But who they're having on the call is Kelly Bell, John Allen. You guys know how I feel about John Allen.
These are both musicians, by the way, if you guys don't know.
Yes. Kelly Bell is, the frontman for the Kelly Bell Band. It's a big local band. And John Allen is a frontman for Charm City Devils, but he's also an SR-71. I mean, he's been in nationally touring acts. And then Marlon Humphrey from the Baltimore, all pro from the Baltimore Ravens. That's who's going to be on there. But they're not letting me on until, they've already had talked to all these guys. They've said everything.
That seems
fair. Yeah, right. Nobody wants to hear from me if you talk to Marlon Humphrey. But I'd like to talk to these guys.
Do you feel like that you're on par with Kelly Bell in terms of your celebrity? Because the other two, clearly you're not.
No, I don't think I'm on par with any of those guys, to be honest with you.
All right. I was wondering. So you don't feel slighted at all?
No, I don't feel slighted. Yeah, no, that seems like the appropriate order, right? But that is the way you should do it. You have one person in, and I think you should have, first Kirk and Marianne should probably talk for like 5 minutes, and then the first person in should be Marlon Humphrey.
Marlon Humphrey was the guest when I did that Anthony Levine show with Marianne back in, I think it was November, December.
Yeah, didn't he buy a $1,000 Christmas gift for some guy who does the laundry there or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's when Anthony Levine was trying to show me up with my football knowledge.
Yeah, because you didn't know the current predictive order power rankings of NFL teams. But anyway, but they should have the most famous person in. Then they should bring in the second most famous person. But the problem is, I doubt Marlon Humphrey knows who John Allen is. Would you agree?
Of course not.
But John Allen probably knows who Marlon Humphrey is.
Provided he's a Ravens fan, yeah.
So those two, that would be interesting if you have two famous people talking to one another. Then you bring in Kelly Bell, but you remember, you always run the risk, the more people you add, of losing the people that you want in there the most, right? But you also have to have enough people where there's enough interesting content. So it is a juggling act. So I think they have me in as mop-up. I'm pretty sure that's what I am. You know, it's like, in David Letterman, they'd have a third guest, and every once in a while, they wouldn't get to him. That's me. That's who I am.
Can you record these or save these videos people can watch later?
You can if you have the downloaded version of Zoom, I'm pretty sure.
Well, why don't we do some Robin Joe Show Zooms? Maybe we can get Mac Bergson on, Jim Amato, some of our favorites.
Now you're talking. We get Scott Apple. We get Mike Chamberlain. We get Chris Restivo. Yes, 100%. Yeah. We do that.
Eric and Tommy. Maybe we even reach out to some people, you know, mend some fences. Maybe we can get Dan Ninen on.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, we'll do it.
All right. Robbie, there you go. Let's work on that in the coming weeks before we're out of this quarantine. Probably another month, but hey, we'll see. All right, guys. Good show. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.